W-D-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
8 seconds remain. Free puck there. Sent into the zone. Kemper just fights it off as the puck is wide in front of the net. Now, did we have a whistle before time ran out?
Oh, that pass went right across or bounced over Bonino's stick. He's right on top of the crease. But that was the last ditch effort.
This one is over, and the Predators could not overcome the 3-goal deficit they dug for themselves.
It's obviously the ideal world. We would have won every game throughout this whole playoffs, but that's obviously not going to happen. We're just looking forward. We can't do anything about game one now. We're just looking to game two. We'll have a good day tomorrow, see what we did well, what we can do better. There's no time to think about what could have happened. We're just ready for game two.
A disappointing game one loss for the Nashville Predators yesterday against the Arizona Coyotes, falling 4-3 on Sunday afternoon. Welcome back in Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode taking you through this Monday morning. And to help us talk a little bit more about the Preds and the qualifying round and everything going on in Edmonton and Toronto, we bring in one of our very good friends, Sean Rourke from NHL.com. Sean, what's going on, my friend? How are you?
Gentlemen, doing great. So happy to join you this morning.
Well, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it as always. And Sean, we've gotten in this musical kick here on the show. We've been playing a lot of 90s hip-hop, some 90s country every now and then going on. I think you would bring a little bit of a different element to the table in our musical discussion.
Might get a little loud in there for 8 o'clock in the morning in Nashville.
Sean's a big heavy metal guy.
Yes. What are you listening to like lately? What's in your earphones when you're putting music on right now?
Well, almost every day when I listen to music, I listen to a band called Clutch out of Maryland. They're kind of heavy but not insanely heavy, which I listen to a lot of too, but they're kind of the bridge that'll get me across whatever I need to do. So, and a fantastic live band. I can't tell you how much I'm sure we all miss live music, but one of the best live bands I've ever seen. Mm.
Sean, what was your reaction to game one yesterday between the Predators and the Coyotes? A really good first period by Arizona got up to the 3-0 lead, and the Predators just could never quite recover after that.
Yeah, and look, you take away that first period, and that game is what I expect this series to be, which is two really equal teams who have the same strengths fighting for every inch of ice. You know, it's 3-0 after one, and that first goal, you know, they decide Saros is going to play, and he goes in, and that first goal is a double deflection, knuckleball over his shoulder. Like, no goalie, as the most experienced goalie in the world, Martin Brodeur, doesn't want that to happen to start his playoffs. So it was a tough way to start, and it took them a while to get their footing after that. But I thought over the last 40 minutes, you know, it was an even game, if not a little bit in Nashville's favor. And some of that is because they were chasing the game and had to open up a little bit. But I'm interested to see what happens here in game two.
So you're not in favor of pulling the goalie, changing all the lines, and full-on panic after one loss, Sean?
No, I do think the goalie situation, the goalie decision is a tough one, right? Our colleague Kevin Woodley, who works in Vancouver, covers the Canucks and does a lot of goalie stuff for us, he does a column every week on goalies called Unmasked that runs on Fridays. And last week's was, you know, as there were so many goalie decisions that had to be made in this first round, I think, you know, out of the 8 qualifiers, I think 6 of them involved at least one, if not 2 goalie decisions. And he looked at how players started the season, you know, in October, because the layoff is almost exactly the same as what we had between the season being paused in March and picking up here. So, you know, it's almost like the goalies are starting in training camp next season. So to look at how goalies performed in October was one of the metrics that some coaches were using. And, you know, Peck has had some great starts to the season. UC's never been the number one to start a season, so it's not a fair comparison. But I thought out of all the goalie decisions that had to be made, that the one in Nashville was the toughest one, just because of Peck's pedigree and what he's done in the playoffs previously.
Sean Rourke from NHL.com on the line with us. And Sean, this is a question that's not really come up just because of yesterday and what happened, but a lot of Predators fans here locally are looking at this team, what happened last year in the playoffs against Dallas, how they struggled to get to the middle of the ice and generate opportunities and get some of those gritty goals that you have to score come playoff time. A similar story yesterday, other than the one goal they scored by Ryan Ellis with Forsberg and Arvidsson in front of the net. When you look at this roster and specifically this forward group with the Predators, do you think they're built for that playoff success and the way that you have to kind of fight and scratch and claw to score goals in the playoffs?
I do, and I don't think they showed it for the whole game, you know, and I've seen out of, you know, Arizona where there's been some suggestion that, you know, as good as the Nashville defense is, they're not the most physical defense in the world, and that they can, you know, kind of try and crash the net and get traffic around whoever the goalie was going to be. And, you know, I don't know that that's a fair criticism either. I just, you know, you would like to see them certainly pay more of a physical price. And I look, it's been a long time and a lot's gone on since the last time that we've played playoff hockey. I think yesterday was a good wake-up call for some of those players. And the other thing I think you have to take out of that is if Nashville didn't put themselves in such a penalty hole so early. And across the first eight qualifiers, the games have been called exceedingly tight. There's been a ton of power plays for everyone. It wasn't just in this game. But when I looked at that Nashville game, like, some of those penalties were unnecessary. You know, you look at the Duchesne penalty and you're like, I don't know if that needs to be taken with a game on the line. So I think they can be more physical, but I'm also curious to see how that physicality is going to be adjudicated going forward. That was two pretty big words I just got.
That's
out
nice.
Of
that's really well done.
Very impressive. Very impressive. Yeah, you mentioned the penalties all over the place. We've also got, along with this 11 seed, we've got two 12 seeds. Everybody's complaining about Montreal and Chicago being in this tournament, and Montreal and Chicago won their games. What about those series, and what else has jumped out to you so far, Sean?
Well, look, the best of five, right, is just crazy. It hasn't happened in the NHL since I was a kid in that state and myself, because it was in the 1980s. And the numbers are kind of scary, right? The team that wins game one, I think, is 87.5% to win the whole thing. I throw some of those numbers out because this is not a typical game five, and you don't know what's going to happen going forward. I think those teams looked at it and said, if we can win a game, all of a sudden all the pressure's on the favorite and let's take it to them. And you know, I don't know what happened in those games. Like, I watched both of them. Edmonton played no defense, and it was the early part of that game was kind of scary. They had goaltending issues, and Mike Smith got replaced soon after the first period. And then in the Montreal game, I thought that Montreal just had a really good game plan. But even with that, I thought they played a perfect game, and it took them well into overtime to win. And Pittsburgh was the more dominant team in the second half of the game, and Carey Price kept Montreal in it. But the thing that struck me the most is how quickly we've gotten back to playoff hockey. That first game on Saturday, noon, everybody's wondering what's going to happen. Huge hit, causes a turnover, causes a goal, causes a fight, all within the first 5 minutes. It was like the Western Conference final from last year within the first 5 minutes on Saturday, and things just got crazier from there. Last night we end up with Nazem Kadri of the Colorado Avalanche scoring with 0.1 seconds left. The drama in the first 2 days to me has been like the first weekend of the NCAA men's basketball tournament.
Sean, what have you made of the environments as a whole in Edmonton and Toronto? Everything seems, from an outward perspective, to be going really well, not only from obviously the COVID part of it, but also a broadcast, the game presentation. What have you made of what's gone on so far in Edmonton and Toronto?
I'm amazed. And I don't say that lightly, because I've worked at the NHL since 2000. I've been to every major event they've done. I've gone overseas, you know, to cover various teams and, you know, outdoor games. And just look at the Winter Classic this year with Nashville in it, with the rain the day before and the rink almost getting washed away, and they were able to solve that problem. You know, the people that work for the NHL, especially in events and stuff like that, are unbelievable. But this is an undertaking that I don't think anybody can imagine. When you just think about all the things that had to happen to get it off the ground, and then once it was off the ground, to keep it running. Like, one of the most amazing things to me is, you know, they have those tarps up and the pucks get on them when they go out of the rink, and you know, that kind of ruins the TV shot if you see a bunch of pucks sitting on the tarp and you can't get at the ones in the middle because you can't walk on the tarp. So they had to figure out how to get the pucks off, and they're in a closed zone. So what they did was they went and got pool skimmers from the hotels, and so somebody's job now is to fish the pucks off as they go on. And that's just a funny story, but that's the kind of stuff that has to be done almost every day, the fires that have to be put out. And let's not forget, there's 12 teams in each one of those hub cities playing for the Stanley Cup, and you've covered Stanley Cup playoffs when everything's perfect, when you get to stay in your own house, when you get to do, you know, first-class travel, and teams still complain about everything. Not in a bad way, but they're looking for every edge they can get, and everything that happens against them is a slight in their opportunity to win the Stanley Cup. That's tenfold here, right? So the first week, to me, has been unbelievable. I mean, I watch the games at night, and I thoroughly enjoy them, and but also a little part of me is like, wow, what's going on behind the scenes that nobody knows about and nobody even understands is almost beyond comprehension.
Yeah, great point. You know, I think your comparison to the NCAA tournament is dead on, Sean. It was absolutely amazing the last couple of days watching great game after great game. I mean, especially the qualifying round to me, you know, the round robin. It's a little bit less, but hey, that Colorado-St. Louis game was great. Today we have six games starting our time, 11 a.m., Rangers-Hurricanes all the way to Blackhawks-Oilers tonight. One game that really jumps out to me, Jets-Flames game two. I want to ask both you guys this. I can't at all believe that Keith Tkachuk tried to do that to Mark Scheifele. And I know Paul Maurice is calling it disgusting, intentional, going off about it. Am I crazy here? I really don't think he meant to do that.
No, he didn't. And you're moving at such a high rate of speed that sometimes things just happen. Hockey's a fast game. But that's all. I mean, that's an interesting series because the Jets, if you look at their underlying numbers, like, they haven't been that great all year, but Connor Hellebuyck has been outstanding. The Flames, to me, Sean, and tell me whether or not you agree, they look like a team where you look at their talent in terms of, you know, Gaudreau's there, Monahan, Tkachuk, all the guys they have on the back end. They get hot, they're going to be a really dangerous team.
Yeah, no, for sure. And they have the fire from last year losing to Colorado in that upset. And, you know, that still sits very poorly with them. I think the difference in that series, I picked Winnipeg in five before it started, was the goaltending, right? I Calgary didn't know who they were going to go with, you know, whether it was going to be Rittich or not, or you know, how they were going to handle that. I don't think their goaltending is in the same category as Winnipeg. I mean, Connor Hellebuyck is going to be probably the Vezina winner, maybe should have been in the MVP conversation. That's how good he's been, because Winnipeg is a shell of the team they've been the last couple of years with all the defections that they had on the blue line. But now, Line A's hurt. He's not expected to play today. Scheifele may be done for the tournament. We don't know. I mean, it looked really bad when it happened, and I don't think that Matt meant to do that either. I do think, you know, with the reputation that he has, that jump is going to be made by some people. I also think that, you know, Paul Maurice knows his team's behind the eight ball now, and let's get the boys motivated and get them to come out, because I thought they were flat in game one, and you know, they didn't use their speed, and they let Calgary dictate physically, and they let Matt Tkachuk just take over that game with what he does. I mean, he's one of the best agitators in the game with Brad Marchand, and one of the best I've seen since Claude Lemieux was making everybody crazy when he played for the Devils when they were at the height of their powers in the mid-90s. So, you know, I game two obviously is going to be huge, and I think you're going to see a much different Winnipeg team in this game.
Sean Rourke from NHL.com has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Sean, really appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us. Always love having you come on the airwaves here in Nashville.
Yeah, man, I can't wait. I can't believe there's going to be a hockey game in 3 hours. You never even get to come down from the game,
right?
The night before. This is a great week. I love the way this is set up.
Absolutely. That's Sean, awesome. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate you.
All right.
When we come back, we'll get back into a little Preds talk and some of our big takeaways from game one. That's next. Also, take your reaction, 615-737-1025. This is Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
W-D-E-N-B-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.